question and answer program everyone enjoys.
I would say yes.
That's right.
That's right.
Here are the questions.
Ewan in Blackburn, you may go first. Hello.
How are you?
I can't complain. How are you doing,
That's
Ewan?
Good. Oh, I can't complain either. And if I do, no one will listen to me.
Well, au contraire, if you started complaining now, you'd actually have quite a lot of people listening.
Yeah, no. I've got enough problems. I don't want to give them my problems.
Don't want to share them? Fair
No. Now, the people that burnt down, that was the White House that was burnt down by the Redcoats in 1814.
That is correct. Yes. I think they came in from Canada too. I know some Canadians who love that particular piece of trivia.
Yes. Oh, I bet you a few might be thinking, oh.
Now. Okay. Question two.
Yeah.
Who holds the record for the most Olympic gold medals won by a snowboarder?
Oh. Mm. Oh, now you got me. Mm. Oh, bloody hell. I think it's an Australian fella or woman. Look, I don't know their name, so can't help you. Leave it to someone else.
Thank you for starting us off.
No worries. Have a good night.
Okay, see you later. We've got Anne in Caulfield. Hi, Anne.
Hi, how are you? You came to me one question too late.
Or perhaps one question too early.
Probably.
I know. You know, I sometimes throw sports ones into the history quiz.
Yeah, and I really appreciate them. Not.
Who holds the record for the most Olympic gold medals won by a snowboarder?
Mr. White.
Well, that is correct, but, oh dear, I'm going to need a first name.
Okay. I haven't got the foggiest idea. You've probably guessed. I'll just say Joe White. Probably not even the right initial.
Yeah, you're right there too.
Okay.
All right.
See you later.
Well, there's only, 24 more letters people can guess from. Thanks, Anne. Do you know who this snowboarder is who holds the record for the most Olympic gold medals won by a snowboarder? It is, as Anne suggested, a Mr. White. We just need to find out who. Scott in Blacktown.
Hello.
Hello, Scott.
How are you going?
I'm well. Now, this is a bit of sporting history in our white-themed history quiz tonight. Who holds the record for the most Olympic gold medals won by a snowboarder?
My goodness, sorry. Dally Steagall's coming to me dead, but she's a screw, I think.
Well, I've already given the clue. Anne tried Mr. White. That is correct. Yeah. So I just need the first name. And she also said, I've let her know that it doesn't start with the letter J because she tried Joe.
Jason?
No, it doesn't start with a J.
No, it doesn't start with J. Oh, sorry. I can see his face. He's a... give me a second. There's no clues. I've already got one.
You've got a couple.
Yeah, I know. All right. I'll stop wasting your time. I've just drawn another blank.
Why don't you just try a name so maybe I can rule another letter out?
All right.
Just give me a bloke's name.
Oh, I'm thinking of a young bloke's name. Hamish.
It's not Hamish.
Yeah, I don't know.
Doesn't start with an H.
Yeah,
thanks, Scott.
I've just made it. I don't know. I don't have to make it simpler or harder for someone else. God, I've confused myself. So
we will see. We will see, Scott, if your insight helps anybody. For the person who missed the start of the quiz, the theme tonight is white. That is our theme. Glenda knows it, John and Mitchum knows it, Amy knows it, and you know the three of you have all spelt his first name differently. Lots of variety there. Jane from Homebush has the answer. Annette in Perth, Tristan also knows what the answer is. Okay, who knows who this person is? Mr. White, who holds the record for the most Olympic gold medals won by a snowboarder. If you know, why don't you hop on the phones and help us out? 1-300-800-222. 1-300-800-222. G'day, Trev in Surfers Paradise.
Oh, hello, Suzanne.
Hello. Who do you think this is?
Look, I'd have to be guessing at a first name, wouldn't I?
Unless you know.
No, I don't know. The name is White, which was something that I thought, well, I haven't heard of him or her. I take it it's a him.
I've already said it is Mr. White.
Mr. White.
That's right. It doesn't start with a J and it doesn't start with an H.
Yeah, can I say William or Bill? Like, yeah, that's just the name I'm pulling out of the air, you know, like.
It's not William and it's not Bill. I will let you go there. Thanks, Trev.
Yeah.
Loz from Lynham. Hello, Loz.
Hello there.
Do you know who this is?
Look, I think his name is Sean White.
Sean White is the correct answer. Nicely done. Yeah, before
he was an American dude.
Yeah, and he was also, before he became a global snowboarding superstar, he was nicknamed the Flying Tomato because of his long, bright red hair.
Well, there you go.
Question three. Who is the only Australian to have won the Nobel Prize for Literature?
This is, can we assume that everything today has the word white in it, or is that more of a general, do you know what I mean?
I mean, in this case, I think you should, because where else would the white be?
I don't know, maybe the name of the book or something. Mm. An author with the name White. No, I've got no idea, sorry.
Thanks, Loz. Diana's got it, Morgan's got it, Ray in the Bay's got it. Who is the only Australian to have won the Nobel Prize for Literature? And our history quiz is white-themed tonight. Karen from Altona Meadows. Hello, Karen.
Hello.
Karen, who's the only Australian to have won the Nobel Prize for Literature?
I think it's Patrick White.
Yes, it is Patrick White. Karen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Despite the Nobel recognition, he had a famously complicated relationship with Australia. He often criticised what he saw as our cultural conservatism and anti-intellectualism. He described it as the great Australian emptiness.
Oh, dear.
Yes. Anyway. Right. Question four, Karen. The White Army was a player in which civil war fought last century?
Right. Okay, let me think. Civil War. So who's against who? Look, I don't know. I'll just say the Burma?
It's not in Burma, no.
Oh, okay. No,
thanks, Karen.
Thanks.
1-300-800-222 to play our white-themed history quiz tonight. Chipper says, I'm getting in early for Barry White. I'll tell you this, Barry White is not turning up. Not turning up in this particular quiz. 1-300-800-222. I think you'll find the questions perhaps get easier from here. Hello, Pamela in Perth.
Hi.
Pamela, you're a first-time caller, so a warm welcome to you.
Thank you.
Now, Pamela, question four. The White Army was a player in which civil war fought last century?
Sorry, I think I don't know that.
No, okay. Thanks for playing anyway. Nice to hear from you. Yes, Mark in Wagga Wagga. You've got it correct. Yes, let's see who else. Let's try Rodney in Latham. Hello, Rodney.
Hello.
Yeah, the White Army was a player in which civil war fought last century?
Yeah, that was the Russian, after the Russian Revolution.
Yes, that's right, the Russian Civil War. Do you know the colour of the army that they fought against?
The Red Army.
Yes, that is right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Red Army were the armed faction of the Bolsheviks.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Question.
I only rang because you said it gets easier from here.
And now I'm looking at the next question and thinking, oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Now, this is question five. Which white item of clothing became a symbol of India's independence movement and was worn by leaders including Mahatma Gandhi and India's first Prime Minister, Jawaharlal Nehru?
That was a loincloth.
No.
Oh, it wasn't.
No, I know Gandhi wore it, but I don't think Nehru did. No, it's a very particular...
That's right, he didn't. Yeah.
Very particular item of clothing.
Too late to give a second choice,
it
I guess.
It is, yeah, but it's not a loincloth. You've ruled that out.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Rodney. I'm just seeing if anyone's figured this one out. Shucks, no Barry White. Could you play one of his songs, please, says Lynn. We'll see. Liz in Doncaster.
I think it was a cap or a hat.
Yes, it is. It's, in fact, called the Gandhi cap.
Yes, correct.
Okay, we do have another fashion-related question for number six, which is, which pop star wore a white swan dress to the 2001 Oscar Awards?
Oh, I know who that is, Bjork.
It is Bjork. Well done. Yeah, she arrived at the 2001 Academy Awards wearing her Marjan Pajoski swan dress. She also brought along six ostrich eggs, which she dropped onto the red carpet and leaving a trail behind her. So it was quite the entrance, wasn't it?
Wow, I didn't know that.
Question seven. Gosh, we're up to seven already. It's not too bad. Liz, in 1120... the white ship carrying the heir to the English throne and many other nobles sank in which body of water, leaving King Henry I without a legitimate male successor?
Could you please, repeat that?
Yeah, sure. In 1120, the white ship carrying the heir to the English throne and many other nobles sank in which body of water, leaving King Henry I without a legitimate male successor?
I just would have thought the English Channel, but white? English Channel?
Yeah, the English Channel is correct. The thing that's white is the ship. It was called the White Ship.
Yes, I realised that. Right. Thank you for repeating
it. Nicely done, Liz. Yeah, the disaster killed the only legitimate son of Henry I, and then it helped trigger a brutal succession crisis that was called the Anarchy, in which England descended into years of lots and lots of fighting. Okay, Liz, we move on to question eight in our white-themed history quiz tonight. A group of 16 American battleships that toured the ports of the world from December 1907 until February 1909, including stops in Sydney, Melbourne and Albany, went by which name?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
No guesses?
What group of ships?
Yeah, a group of American battleships. They went by which name?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Liz, you did very well. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Someone's got it. Yeah, Harry in the Bay has it. And Diana and Adrian, you're both missing a word from your answer. You're missing different words. Together you'd have it right. 1-300-800-222. D in Coffs Harbour. Hello.
Good morning, Suzanne. How are you, darling?
Good morning. Can't complain.
Had a good day yesterday. Played the Palmwoods Hotel Open Mic Day.
That's right. You were telling us about this on Friday, weren't you?
Yes, I didn't see you there. What happened?
Oh, no, different part of the country, I'm afraid. Couldn't make it.
I told Ackman as well and Stuart to do the show after Trevor, but they didn't end up turning up either. Anyway, it all went well. I done four original songs and, yeah, it was a good day.
Now, can you have a go at question 8 for me, Dee? A group of 16 American battleships that toured the ports of the world from December 1907 to February 1909, including stops in Sydney, Melbourne and Albany, went by which name?
Ooh, 1907 to 1909. I'll just throw something out there. Galactica?
It's not Galactica, no. Thanks, Dee. Yeah. Just a reminder to any late joiners that the theme of our history quiz tonight is white. It's you will find white somewhere in the question or the answer of all our questions tonight. Yep, Ed in Perth has it. David in Singleton says, by the way, Channel 10 streaming has a dedicated prisoner channel. Season 2 at the moment. Well, I know this, David, because, in fact, it's not next Saturday. It's the Saturday after that we've got Ian Bradley's going to come in, who was one of the writers and directors, I believe, of Prisoner, because we were so excited after we had so much Prisoner chat last week, very entertaining Prisoner chat. We thought, let's go all out. Let's do a special on Prisoner. So we are, in fact, going to have him come in. And I thought, I haven't watched much Prisoner. So I asked my husband, dear, if he could find some for me. And he came back and said, yeah, Channel 10. So sometime in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be watching a bit of Prisoner, catching up on what I missed out on. Shane in Singleton. Hello, Shane.
Ah, good morning.
Good morning. So I'm after the name of a group of 16 American battleships that toured the ports of the world from December 1907 to February 1909 with stops in Sydney, Melbourne and Albany. What was the name that they went by?
I think that was the Great White Fleet.
The Great White Fleet is correct. Thank you, Shane. Question 8. Which shipping company owned the Titanic?
That was the White Star Line.
Yes, it was the White Star Line. Question 9 in our white-themed history quiz tonight. The expectation that brides... Sorry, no, that will be question 10, actually. The expectation that brides should wear a white wedding dress became embedded in British society after the wedding of which two people in 1840?
1840... Okay, I'm going to say that that was Queen Victoria.
Which two people?
Oh, she married Prince Albert.
That is correct. Yeah, Queen Victoria and Prince Albert. Up until that time, Shane, there were no clear expectations of what colour a wedding dress should be. In fact, as I was looking this up, I found a poem describing how your marriage might fare depending on what colour dress you wore. So have a listen to this. Marry in white, everything's right. Marry in blue, lover be true. Marry in pink, spirits will sink. Marry in grey, live far away. Marry in brown, live out of town. Marry in green, ashamed to be seen. Marry in yellow, ashamed of your fellow. Marry in black, wish you were back. Marry in red, wish you were dead. Gosh. Marry in tan, he'll be a loved man. Marry in pearl, you'll live in a whirl. And there's a line also that was cut from the original poem that was marry in leopard, put in no effort. Actually, I think Greta made that up, that last line, now I think about it.
I'm surprised about the red for the dead because you see a lot of Chinese couples, they get married in a red wedding dress and then they change into white for some other photos. You know, they like to have two sets of photos because white is unlucky.
Why? Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, I imagine this poem has comes from a kind of very Anglo-European point of view. Interesting, yeah. No, I think I'm just reading this poem. I think Greta must have put in the last one, Marion Leopard, he'll put in no effort. We had quite a debate this week in the office because I think I'm really not into animal prints. And Greta absolutely loves animal prints. And she got held up in a traffic jam one day. I think it was a couple of weeks ago. She couldn't make it into the office. The traffic jam was so terrible. But she dressed in double leopard print just to annoy me, just to troll me. So I think she's been trolling me.
I was just thinking about that Great White Fleet. Did they take 16 ships into each of those ports?
They did. There are some pictures around of them being here in Australia, I think.
Yeah, I knew that. they'd come out visiting. They went around the globe, but I didn't realise there were 16 vessels.
Hmm.
Yeah, well.
You learn something every day, right?
Everything, yeah, yeah. Every day.
Yeah. Right, so that was question 10. So, 11. American author and social reformer Upton Sinclair is credited with bringing which phrase to describe an office worker into popular parlance in the 1920s?
The white-collar worker.
White-collar worker is correct. Oh, Darren sent me another one. Marry in the nude, you'll always get, and I'm just going to leave that one blank.
Fair enough.
It's the Nightlife History Quiz. Our theme tonight is white. If you would like to be part of it, 1-300-800-222 is the number that you need to call. I've got Shane with me at the moment, who is doing a very good job of making his way through some of these questions, actually. Yeah, well done, Adrian, Di, Diana, Lorella. You all had white-collar worker too. Question 12. The Australian White Ensign is the official flag of the ships and establishments of the Royal Australian Navy. It has been since 1967, but is it flown from the front or the back of a ship when the ship is underway?
Well, I think it would have to be at the stern, at the back of the ship.
You're correct, it is at the back. Yeah. From the formation of the RAN until 1967, Australian warships actually used the British White Ensign as their ensign, but that led to situations where Australian vessels were mistaken for British ships. And when Australia became involved in Vietnam, proposals were made for a uniquely Australian ensign. That was approved in 1966, entered use in 67, and it's effectively the Australian flag, but with a white background instead of a blue one.
Yeah. Okay. I know what it looks like. Yeah.
Doing very well here, Shane. Question 13. In which Scandinavian country were the Sydney Opera House's million-plus white tiles manufactured?
Ah, this is going to be a trick question because of the designer of the Opera House, but I believe that Sweden is the place to get ceramics done. So I'm going to say Sweden.
You are doing very well, Shane. It is Sweden. By the company, and I don't know how you'd say it in Swedish with a Swedish accent, Hogarnas AB, in collaboration with Jörn Utzon. Utzon wanted the tiles to reflect the light and contrast with the deep blue of the harbour, and he selected a combination of glossy white and matte cream tiles that sparkle without causing blinding glare.
Yeah, they have a texture to them.
Have you? Can you see it, or do you have to get up close to touch them to know that?
No, you can. Well, they didn't want it to, as you said, have any glare, and they got a one-off tile, and that I don't know how many millions of tiles are on. It must be in excess of a million tiles, anyway. I don't think the Swedes made them. Wasn't it the Italians made them? I know they had a kiln running at the Opera House, but I'm not sure if that was for the whole thing.
Hmm. Anyway, let us move on. Question 14. At Wimbledon in 2013, what was Roger Federer asked to remove as it did not adhere to the strict all-white dress code?
Okay. Maybe it'd be something to do with his... look, I'll just go the obvious, a headband.
Shane, your run has come to an end. I'm afraid it was not a headband.
Okie doke.
All right. That was excellent, though. You did really well. Thanks so much. Paul in Kalgoorlie is next to join us. Hello, Paul.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, well.
He was good.
He knocked off a few, didn't he? Did you know them or not?
Oh, I didn't know all of them. I knew a couple, but he knew more than me. Yeah, I'd have... Yes.
Good person to go in front of you then.
Maybe.
Let's see.
I wish you got this one.
Question 14. At Wimbledon in 2013, what was Roger Federer asked to remove as it did not adhere to the strict all-white dress code? Not a headband.
Well, I'll say his shirt.
It was not his shirt, no.
Thank you, Susan.
Sorry, Paul. Thanks. No one's got it yet. Alistair in Winchelsea.
Suzanne, am I coming through loud and clear?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, because when I connected there with Lachlan, it was very, very clear, crystal clear.
Well, you sound clear now.
Thank you very much. Is everybody welcoming in June? We are in June in some states.
That's right, we are.
Oh, good. Yeah, so I've changed the calendar. I've done the right thing.
Yeah, well, if Lockie could come in here, I could give him a pinch and a punch, perhaps, but that might not be very nice.
Yeah, well, was it Billy Idol had the white wedding as
it
well?
It was, yeah. I know there are actually a lot of white songs. I went to pick a couple to play and, I could have played an awful lot for you.
Yeah.
Anyway. Right, Alistair. At Wimbledon in 2013, what was Roger Federer asked to remove as it did not adhere to the strict all-white dress code?
I think he might have had a logo on his shirt, possibly.
We've tried shirt, so it's not shirt and it's not headband.
Not a logo?
Oh, no.
I said logo.
No, it's not a logo on his shirt.
I have to wait for the answer. Thanks, Suzanne.
Okay, thanks, Alistair.
That's all right.
Bye. Joe in Mudgee.
Okay, Suzanne, how you going?
Good. Joe, at Wimbledon in 2013, what was Roger Federer asked to remove as it did not adhere to the strict all-white dress code?
I can't remember if it was Federer or not, but I remember someone had to change their shoes. They were pink or red or something. So I'm saying, yeah, shoes is my answer.
Shoes is correct, Joe. It was because they were white Nikes, but they had bright orange soles. You couldn't even have the orange under the radar. He had to go and change them.
They're very uptight, those British, aren't they?
Well, they're very proper at Wimbledon. Maybe that's Wimbledon. Maybe that's a nicer way of saying it.
They like their traditions.
They do. Question 15. In which London suburb was the body of Mary Ann Nichols discovered on August the 31st, 1888?
I've no idea, really. The only suburb I could name in London would be Whitechapel.
Yeah, Whitechapel is correct. Got any idea what the significance of Mary Ann Nichols is?
What year did you say?
1888.
No, nothing.
She was the first victim of Jack the Ripper.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, well, you did well. You got that one, Joe. 16. The English county of Yorkshire features which white flower on its flag, which has historical associations dating back to the Middle Ages?
Oh. Oh, it sounds a bit too generic, but I'll say the white rose.
No, the right rose is correct.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Developed from the white rose that was associated with the House of York during the Wars of the Roses.
Well, sometimes the most obvious answer is the right one, isn't it?
That's right. See, this one's a little too hard tonight, I don't think. Question 17. Which fast food founder became famous for wearing a white suit and black string tie?
Oh, that's, what's that, Mr. The Colonel Sanders, Harlan Sanders.
Yes, it is Colonel Sanders, Joe. 17. Oh, no, I think it's 18, actually. What am I doing? I've changed things a bit. Yes, 18. Elizabeth I famously wore heavy white makeup made from lead mixed with vinegar, partly to conceal scars from which disease?
Oh. You're getting tricky now, aren't you, Suzanne?
Only if you don't know.
Well, very good point. Scars from which disease?
Adrian's got it.
Say something a bit naughty and say syphilis.
Well, there were rumours her father had it, but
so I'm not too far off.
Yeah, but I don't think it's sexually transmitted, isn't it, syphilis?
Oh, I thought it was.
Yeah, remember she was the Virgin Queen, so at least she kept herself safe from that.
So they say.
Oh, Joe. There's Joe. 1-300-800-222. We're not too far away. We've got through these questions quite easily tonight. Lorella knows. Pam in Hobart knows. So does Chris in the Northern Rivers. Harry in the Bay's got it too. Hello, Michael in Barrack Heights.
Hello there, Susie. Haven't heard from you for quite a while. How are you?
I'm well, Michael. You mustn't have been listening, Michael. I have been. I've been here mostly.
I'm doing Uber at the moment, to be honest with you.
Oh, right. Okay. You got someone in the car right now?
No, not at the moment. I'm up at Ferry Meadow at the moment.
We're on question 18. Elizabeth I famously wore heavy white makeup made from lead mixed with vinegar, partly to conceal scars from which disease?
Oh, okay.
It's not syphilis.
No. Sorry, whenever I think of syphilis, I think of koalas. Oh, that's the other one. Sorry, chlamydia. Sorry. I'm going to say eczema.
It's not eczema, no.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
Cheers.
All right, good to talk to you. Here's Gary in Tintinara. Hello, Gary.
Hi, how are you?
Gary, any ideas what disease this was that Elizabeth I wore heavy white makeup to conceal scars from?
No, I've got no idea, mate. I'll leave you to it.
All right. Thanks, Gary. 1-300-800-222 if you think that you can help us with this. Ray in Yeranga.
Hello, Suzanne.
What do you think this was, Ray?
I sort of missed the beginning of the question. Was it white makeup to cover?
Okay, Elizabeth I famously wore heavy white makeup made from lead mixed with vinegar, partly to conceal scars from which disease?
Chickenpox.
It's not chickenpox, no, Ray.
No. All right.
Thank you. I may well need some more contestants. I thought we were absolutely going to get through this very quickly, but you might like to have a go at our white-themed history quiz tonight. 1-300-800-222 is the number to call. And then if we wrap up early, I'll get some white-themed songs to play from you because, goodness me, there are plenty of them. Right, who's up next? Dulcie. Hello, Dulcie.
Hello, Susan.
Dulcie, what do you think this disease was that Elizabeth I was wearing the white makeup to conceal the scars from?
I think something to do with the plague.
No, it's not the plague. Sorry, Dulcie. Thanks to you. Rod's on the road. Hi, Rod.
Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
What do you think this was that Elizabeth I had suffered from and was trying to hide the scars from with her white makeup?
I've got really no idea, so I'm just going to take a guess and say chickenpox.
No, we've had chickenpox, so you can try something else. It's not chickenpox, it's not eczema, it's not the plague, it's not syphilis.
Oh, my goodness. Really doesn't leave too many behind, does it? No, sorry, you've lost me. I'm stumped. I can't think.
You're all out of dodgy diseases.
Yeah, well, particularly ones that would require you to wear makeup to cover it up. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Rod. Let's see if Margaret in Melbourne can help us. Hey, Margaret.
Hello. How are you, Suzanne? Good to join you.
Thank you.
It's smallpox.
It is smallpox. Thank you, Margaret. Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Yeah. The cosmetic that she used was known as Venetian Ceruse, although it was likely not the reason she started wearing it, as pale skin was a beauty standard across the courts. She started packing it on after she contracted smallpox, and then it evolved into strategically maintaining her image as the Virgin Queen by putting that white makeup on. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Right. Question 19. In ancient Rome, what would candidates running for political office rub on their togas in order for them to appear whiter?
So we're looking for what they rubbed onto their
togas, right? Yes.
So it's a white, something that makes it white. Oh, lead white.
It's not lead, I'm afraid.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Thanks, Margaret. Nice to talk to you. Here's Chris in Mandurah. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Suzanne.
What do you reckon this was, that the ancient Romans, the candidates running for political office, would rub on their togas to make them appear whiter?
Would it be like what they'd make out of, like the dishes people would make, like a white paint?
No, it's not not a white paint.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Cynthia is from Sunshine in Melbourne. Hello.
Good evening, Suzanne. How are you?
Well, what could this be that the ancient Roman political wannabes rubbed on their togas?
Oh, my goodness. I don't really know the answer, but I'm going to have a guess and say salt.
It's not salt, no.
Oh, okay. Thank you,
Thanks,
Suzanne.
Thanks, Cynthia. Chipper's got it. I think Chipper is the only person who has it thus far. Okay, Graham in Perth. Hello, Graham.
Oh, g'day, Suzanne. I've got it.
What is it?
Colgate toothpaste.
You're absolutely right. They went down to the forum, snatched up a bargain packet, and away they went.
Good night.
Good night. David in Singleton. Hello, David.
Yeah, hi there. I think it might be urine.
It's not urine, David.
Okay.
All right. Hey, nice to hear from you. You're a very regular texter, but we don't talk to you very much. So.
No, I don't ring in very much. No, I don't. Should ring in more.
Yes, you should. But David there is very active on the SMS, however. Yes, Jane in Hobart. That is the correct answer. Pat from Shoalhaven.
Hello.
What could this be that the politicians in ancient Rome rubbed on their togas to make them appear whiter?
I can't imagine, but after the lady said salt, I thought, well, maybe flour.
It's not flour, no.
Okay.
Thanks, Pat. Goodness me. We might be going a while to figure this out. Gordon in Ballina.
Oh.
That's you.
That's me.
Yes. What could this be, Gordon?
Oh.
It's not salt, it's not flour, it's not lead, it's not a white paint, it's certainly not toothpaste.
I think it's lime.
It is not lime.
Oh.
Thanks, Gordon. Catherine Reservoir, you're correct, although you've called me Phil, which is slightly strange. Megan Albany has the answer. Elizabeth in Mount Hawthorne, that is also the answer. Murray in Aberdeen.
G'day.
Hi. What could this be, Murray?
Vague feeling from high school, but I think it might have been chalk.
Chalk is correct. Well done. Yeah, the fabric of their togas was rubbed with a white chalk, so it appeared brilliantly bright in public spaces. That was meant to symbolise purity, honesty and moral virtue. Oh, isn't that nice? Well, this means, Murray, that you can have a go at answering the final question. And, Murray, question 20 is this. Because the colour white was strongly associated with death, mourning and funerary rituals in early imperial China, this likely led to the first use of which universally recognised communication symbol?
Holy dooly. White flag.
You're absolutely right. Yes, the white flag of surrender, Murray. You've won the history quiz. Well done.
Oh, I know.
Have you ever won it before?
Never.
Well, that's pretty exciting. Oh, I hope it's exciting for you.
Yeah, I've won the morning one a couple of times years ago, but that's, yeah. First nighttime one.
Oh, you'll get the Sage magnet. You can pop it on your fridge and be very proud. Excellent. Thanks, Murray.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.